Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, I need for you to, you two need to switch. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Daily Reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 55, where I read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order. This unique Bible, this unique viewpoint, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Job chapter 3, according to the scholars who put this Bible together in chronological order. You need to flip around that way, and you need to move this over a little bit. You need to flip around that way. And okay, then bring this over just a little bit more, and slant it this way. Okay, and then pull it to yourself a little bit more. Okay. Job chapter 3, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing Thus saith the Lord. The word of God at Job chapter 3, verse 1. After this opened Job his mouth. Right here. I hate to do this midstream, but you need to raise this camera up because I can't see that over there. Like it was yesterday, where I can look directly into it. It needs to go up a little bit higher, okay? Alrighty. Back to Job, chapter 3, verse 1. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none, neither let it see the dawning of the day. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your holy word. Lord, help us to remember your holy word. And help us to remember that your servant Job was upright in his ways, and yet trouble came. Lord, help us to remember that when people who claim to be Christians want to complain and fret and get bitter and resentful and angry, even at you, instead of being content with such things as they have, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of contentment. and the joy of contentment. Hide your holy word in our hearts. Help us to meditate on it throughout this day. Help us to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. Thank you for the privilege and the joy to share it with others. For Lord, I remember as a young Christian, I remember certain brethren outside of the church in between services while I was in the military, in the Air Force, and they would have Bible studies together, and we would be invited, and what a blessing it was to hear the older saints read your holy word outside of the pulpit. And so, Lord, help us to be that for thousands and millions around the world. And to help them to grow as young disciples in Christ, so that one day, Lord, they can have in their hearts and minds to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for they will know that their labor in you is not in vain in the Lord. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will help us to preach your holy gospel and proclaim your holy gospel, Lord, even at this time. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And dear friend of mine, I am obligated. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. In fact, woe is me if I do all of this other work here in conducting this service. Woe is me if I pray and read and don't preach to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a question for you and for all of the people listening to me around the world, and I am so thankful to God for the power of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If we were just as God's children, get it out, God will do the saving. So right now, at this very moment, invite someone you might know on their sick bed because of the coronavirus plague or cancer or some other dreaded disease, and let them know that they can hear the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a clear and plain way right now. Send them a text. Call the nurse at the hospital to put the iPad up if you have a family member there, because the truth of the matter is, and hear me well, anybody who dies without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ will open their eyes in the torments of hell. And that's why I preach the gospel every day. So, dear friend, when I was a teenager, I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. It was all rooted in pride, no doubt. So I set out to read the big family Bible that many families had in those days. I saw one online the other day. My daughter pulled it up for me. They're on sale at eBay. I'm thinking about getting one. Especially in the black households, no matter how, what kind of house it was, if it was an old shanty house and the people were poor, they all had a gold embossed Bible with a picture of Jesus Christ on it. But I would pick up that big old Bible, or I would set it on the table and try to read it, but I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 2 before I got bored with reading the Bible. I learned later in life that you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved by the grace of God before you can understand the Holy Bible. So here is how I became a Christian and how you can become a Christian as well. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. I am a sinner, and I have broken God's commandments as well. So has the Pope, so has all bishops, so has the Dalai Lama, and so has even Joel Osteen, as nice as he is. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have sinned. We all have failed God. We all have broken God's commandments. You know that yourself because you've said many times, well, nobody's perfect. When you messed up, you said nobody's perfect, and you were right. Nobody's perfect. God said so. We all have sinned against God, and we have fallen short. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty. There is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You know why you die? You don't die because of the coronavirus plague. You do not die because of cancer. You and I don't die because of a heart attack. That's just the means in which we go out from this life. We die because of the cancer of sin. The greatest cancer in the world is sin. Nothing will destroy your life and eat you up from the inside out like sin. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin is a bad boy, and it's been that way since the beginning of time when we first sinned against God in the garden. God hates sin. Because we're sinners, we don't hate it as much as we should. But his hatred is burning hot. He loves the sinners, but he hates the sin. And because of our sin, we die. Our bodies are going to be planted in a grave somewhere, somehow, or out into the sea. Our soul, however, will go straight to hell if we die unsaved and die without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, in one of his many sermons on hell, Jesus Christ preached on hell more than any prophet. More than any preacher, more than any writer in the Bible, more than any apostle. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ was very clear that if you die without believing in him, you would die and go to hell. I preach this every day because most preachers don't preach it at all, even though our Savior, Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly and loving one who never committed a sin, never did anything evil, He preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, and he preached more on hell than most preachers preach on hell today. Most preachers today, most pastors, don't even mention hell all year long. They just have a 3 points in a poem and no mention of the hell that people are going to, because they want to sugarcoat it and tickle your ears and try to keep you coming to church and giving your money. They don't want to offend you. Well, if you get offended by my telling you the truth, then you will just be offended. Jesus Christ described hell in one sermon as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth right now. Hell, in another sermon, he said, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Nearly every time Jesus Christ preached on hell, he emphasized the torment of the fire burning in hell. The rich man died, and he opened his eyes in the torments and the flames and the heat of hell. He was so thirsty, he didn't want a glass of water, and the greatest thirst quencher in the world is not Gatorade, it's water. He didn't want a glass of water, he just wanted a damp finger. I didn't say damn finger, I said he wanted a damp finger, a wet finger, that's it. This little moisture. His tongue was parched so much. That's some serious thirst, my dear friend. And there's no cold water in hell. There are no creature comforts in hell. You can't get a Coke in hell. So stop joking about hell. Hell is no joke. Hear me well. God is nobody to play with, my dear friend. Nobody to play with. Take him seriously. Take him seriously. Take him as serious as you're taking this plague. Because he's serious. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, in another sermon, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Mm-hmm. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a, that's good, that's fine. Hell is a very real place. And Jesus is saying in this sermon, he's pointing out to you how serious a matter hell is. I would lovingly encourage you to believe in Christ while you can. Repent of your sins and turn, let God turn your life around. That's what repentance means, to turn around away from evil and the hellaciousness of evil and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I would urge you strongly to do that. I believe that God would allow me the liberty to beg you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. That's how serious hell is. It's so serious. Jesus said, you'll be better off amputating your hand and your foot if they are making you love darkness more than light, to the point where you won't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to save your eternal soul from eternal hell. If that's keeping you away because you like to touch somebody's body that you ought not to be touching, touching some drugs that you ought not to be touching, doing some evil that you ought not to be doing? It's better for you to cut your hand off and cut your foot off and sit down in a wheelchair and go to heaven than to go to hell with both hands and both feet. You say, well, preacher, who's going to hell? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you from the Word of God, not my words, the Bible, the Holy Bible. And you will see yourself, no doubt, in this crowd. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because they're concerned about what their family members and friends may say about them believing in Jesus and following Jesus. They're going to call him a nut and a holy roller or whatever. And they want to be politically correct. An unbelieving person, an agnostic, or an atheist, people who claim they don't have any faith in God, but they call on God as soon as they get into trouble. And the abominable, these are the people who take sin to another level. They go beyond the pale with their sin. They're so wicked and so evil. They leave normal sin, if you will, and all sin is abnormal. But for the sake of getting this point across to you, they go beyond the pale. They're not satisfied, the abominable people, with committing fornication with a man to a woman, committing adultery with a man to a woman. They got to go beyond that and do more evil and commit an abomination in God's sight. Man with man, woman with woman. The abominable people. These are they who in families, they commit incest. I went to preach in a church out in Oregon, and I noticed that almost half the church was deformed or had some kind of mental issue, medical issue, and found out later that there were many people out there who committed, in this particular city and region, who back in the day committed incest. Not only in Oregon, in some of the royal lines, you may not have seen them, but they have been born, people who are very, very deformed, because in the royal lines of Europe, people committed incest. God tells you, talks about it, and he calls that an abomination. And we got it going on today in these so-called special families, families that are made up of divorced and separated people and all of that. And I forget, blended families. Just this past week, two cases came out where a man was committing incest with a male, it was a stepfather, see, and then a stepfather committing incest with a male child that was not his son. And then there was a woman who was committing incest, left her husband, and is getting married to the man's son. The devil is a lie. These are abominations. Then we have people today so sick, they walk around and try to have sex with animals. I told you, it's beyond the pale. Beyond the pale. Then you got men and women looking on the computer, looking at pornography, and somehow demonically they're interested in little children, grown men, molesting and raping little children, little boys and little girls, and grown women doing the same thing. These are the abominables among us. You say, well, preacher, we're sinners too. That's right. But even as sinful as we are, we can't even stand these people. We don't even want these people around us. Prisoners, murderers, when these get into the jail system and word is passed around that they molested a child or raped a child or something like that, they end up getting beat up or killed, and the judge oftentimes just act like it's not happening because they can't stand what they did to the poor child. The abominable people who commit abominations in God's sight, and murderers, people who kill others. And there's a whole lot of murdering going on now. The crime rate has gone up. And murderers and sorcerers, those who practice voodoo and witchcraft, it got all kinds of zodiac sign stuff going on, satanic worship and all of that. And whoremongers, these are the heterosexual sinners. Whoremongers and whores, men who have sex with women that they're not married to, women who have sex with men they're not married to. Whoremongers and whores and sorcerers and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God. And one man said one day, and he said it right, I never thought about it, but he told the truth. In this day and time, there's a whole lot of self-idolatry. People have knocked God off of the throne of their hearts and put themselves, and they worship themselves. And then God says, and all liars, all liars, all liars, if God didn't get you on the other ones, he got you on that one. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, whether you're red, white, white, red, black, brown, whatever. Red, yellow, black, or white. Makes no difference. And this is not a completed list. God is just giving you an idea of the people who are going to hell. Do you want to be with them? Are you one of them? You need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now hell, my dear friend, the lake of fire is bad news. But here's the good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, the most loving, most beautiful, most wonderful, most powerful words ever spoken in the history of the world. For God so loved the world, yes, for God so loved Trump, yes, God so loved Biden, yes, God so loved Kamala, yes, God so loved Pence, God so loved all of us, regardless of your political persuasion. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now this is love for you. His only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. It is as simple as that. Notice how simple it is. Yes, it is easy to get saved. The devil and preachers and lying preachers and Pharisees and Sadducees, they try to make it hard on you to get saved. You got to do this. You got to produce your tax forms to be a member here and to be saved. And you got to give X amount of dollars. And you got to be in church every time the church doors are open. You got to do this ministry and this work over here, and we're going to tie you up 7 days a week so that, you know, you can be saved. But notice what Jesus said. don't follow these Pharisees and these Sadducees and these preachers with all these lies. You got to get this done. You got to get baptized. You got to do this. And then we'll know that you're saved. And then we got to put you on probation for a while. And no. You can get saved today right where you are. You don't need to be in an ornate, beautiful church setting. I saw a beautiful church this morning. Very beautiful. It's nice looking. But you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. I got saved in a dorm room, having been raised in the church, member of multiple churches, and my dad was a Baptist preacher, so I was a member of the Baptist church. My mother was a Pentecostal preacher, so I was a member of the Pentecostal Holiness Church as well. I was brought up in both traditions. And lost and on my way to hell, and they didn't do anything to help me get saved from hell. They didn't know any better. Just a bunch of religion and hooping and hollering and jumping over banisters and breaking legs and running around the church and shouting and all of that. And I was lost and on my way to hell. And there are many people brought up in church just like that. By the way, hell is filled with religious folk, church members. Okay? And so you don't have to be in a church. You don't have to even go to church to be saved. You don't have to be a church member to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. How do I know that? Because I'm going on what Jesus Christ said, who preached the gospel first and best. And better than the rest. Oh, yes, he did. Notice what he says here. Jesus Christ says, whosoever. Jesus Christ is not a racist, like some people today are, who are in the church, both white and black and red and brown. Whosoever. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white. They're all precious in God's sight, for God so loved the world. And when God says the world here, he's not talking about the earth and the moon and the universe and the stars. He's talking about human beings. Whosoever believeth. Notice the word believeth. Believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. That's it. None of this other stuff. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what happens after you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You should not perish. That means you will not perish in hell. Period. But have everlasting life. Period. That's it. As soon as you believe in Christ. In the words of Oliver B. Green, instantaneously you're born again, you're saved. Why not? Jesus Christ is the one who paid your sin debt. All you need to do is believe. You don't need to bring any money in your hand. You don't have enough money. You don't need to do a whole lot of work in the church. You don't have enough time. This is a free gift. Salvation from God is a free gift paid for in full by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and all you have to do is believe in him. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. I have to emphasize this because I heard the word saved all of my life. No one ever told me saved from what. I didn't even know I was going to hell. I never heard anything about hell. We made jokes about hell. One time I stupidly said while we were on the school bus, because my dad was a preacher, he was well known, I had to try to be more evil than the other guys. I said, I'm going to drive the bus to hell. That's what I said, stupidly, foolishly. I never should have said something so stupid. But I did. I cursed and swore and told my girlfriends and told my buddies that I would never be a preacher because they always said, you're going to be a preacher like your father. I said, no, I'm not. I cursed at them. I got angry because I didn't want that on me. The last thing on earth I wanted to be was a preacher. I hated preachers. I hated my father. I hated the effeminate men in the church and so forth. They look out, you know, so weak, and women running everything. I hated it. And then they didn't understand how to close church service out on time like the white folks. We were in church all day long, all day long. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all it takes to get saved, dear friend. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Pray and ask him to save your soul. Call on his name, and he will save you. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Put your trust in him. Depend upon him. Rely on him. Let's pray the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, as you're believing in your heart, in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the all-powerful and the almighty Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, and be sincere. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I admit that I have sinned against you. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before in my life. I have coveted and lusted in my heart after people and things. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. And I have also taken your holy name in vain, and I've committed many other sins. I am a sinner, and I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon me. Please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, that he paid my sin debt that I owe you, that he was buried and he rose on the third day from the dead by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you and I receive the free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and change me and help me to change from the inside out. Help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, dear friend, that book is free of charge. It is a free download. You can begin reading instantaneously. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you, in other words, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, please email that to us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. And let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and to become a strong Christian disciple. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.